Good evening. I'm Dorothy Graves, a research assistant professor at the University of Arkansas for Medical Sciences, and this is Science Cafe Little Rock. We are here on 89.1 KUAR the fourth Tuesday of every month from 6:05 to 6:30 to talk about a science topic and give you the chance to call in with your questions. Our phone number here in the studio is 569-8494. That's area code 501-569-8494. And tonight, our topic is on art and science. Joining me in the studio, I have Marla Johnson, CEO of Aristotle. Marla, thank you for being here.
Thank you for letting me be here.
So I think this is going to be a really interesting conversation. We're talking about art and science. You are a business leader of a creative company. So I think there are several different ways we can explore that intersection of art and where that comes into play. How important is creativity to what you do kind of on a day-to-day basis?
So our company has two divisions. One is a full-service digital agency. So we do digital marketing, media solutions, strategic consulting, web design, data analysis, branding, interactive marketing, all of those things. And then we also have another aspect of our company that is an ISP with wireless broadband services.
And which is internet service provider for people who don't know that.
Yeah. Yes, an internet service provider. So we provide basically communication solutions, including like voice over IP and other technologies like that. So how it plays in to what we do, especially on the side that I'm primarily focused on, which is the interactive agency part, is that we get hired by people to create messages. That includes images, video, web design, social media marketing campaigns, whatever it is, in order to reach out, get messages to other people, change their minds, try to get them to do business with them. We have a lot of data analytics under all of that, so we're looking very creatively at the data analytics and seeing whether or not our messaging and marketing is getting through.
Now, I understand that creativity and innovation is one of your core values at Aristotle. How did that come about, and why is that so important to you?
Well, we're in the internet business, which is disruptive by its very nature. And it's changing all the time, and it's changing how people do business all the time. So we have to kind of take those changes that are rapid fire coming at us, and we have to make them transformative and meaningful, for our customers and also for consumers out there, people who are on the internet. And to do that, you have to be creative. You have to be curious. You have to want to explore and learn and understand what's different today than yesterday and what might be happening tomorrow so that you can actually effectively be in this medium. So creativity is of critical importance.
Our number here in the studio is 569-8494, talking with Marla Johnson, CEO of Aristotle, about the intersection of creativity in business and specifically in Aristotle. So how does that sort of operate on a day-to-day basis? Now, how long has Aristotle been around? When did you guys start?
So we founded the company in 1995. So we just celebrated our 20th anniversary. We are no longer a teenager. And we embedded in everything we do. Everyone has a voice. Everyone has a point of view. Everyone has a creative perspective. And we want the things that we do to resonate on an emotional level with people, not just a tactical, analytic, strategic. We want it to be logical and to make sense. But we need for what we have to say to people to also kind of hit their heart and move people to action. And that's really, I think, the key to marketing. There's a lot of marketing tools out there that we use and we use very well. We're a Google partner. And so we understand the algorithms of search. We understand these platforms where we can retarget and stalk all of you out there and get messages in front of you, and you say, why are they doing that? How did they know that I was just looking at the Colorado website and now that I want to go to Colorado? And they keep advertising to me. That's what we do. We find you, we identify you. We have all kinds of data that we can layer in order to find the right audiences for the right services and products. But we have to cut through all that clutter in a creative way. So it's embedded in the way we run the business, how we select employees, you know, how we incentivize and, you know, support employees. And if you don't want to learn and be creative, then Aristotle is not the place for you, probably.
So can you give us a little bit of insight as to how that operationally works in terms of, you know, how do you, and this is, I'm sure, is marketing 101, but we'll take a little aside here. You know, how do you get that information in terms of what different people see? You know, how do you target people? You were talking about getting ads in front of the right people. How does that work? And how do you figure out not only who to access, but how to access them?
Well, we are A-B testing all the time. So
what is that?
That means that we will look at, let's say you will define you as this particular person who's got children, you know, you're a mom, you work at UAMS, you have a certain degree, you know, so we can look at all kinds of data. And we can also know things that you, places you went on the internet. Sorry, again, we're stalking you. We know maybe things that you like, things that you've subscribed to. We can even overlay purchasing data from credit cards potentially. And then we can say, hey, let's see if people like Dorothy like this message. So that's test A. And then we're going to put another message, test B, which is slightly different. It's not going to have a kid in it. It's going to be a romantic message, you know, about her and her husband getting away for the weekend, going off to Memphis, seeing a play. and then
good example.
There you go. And then what we'll do is we'll say, let's see which of these resonate. Which ones of these will she click on? Which one of these will she maybe take an action on? So we do that all the time, and we can vary audiences, and we can vary messages and creative in front of you and see what creative, you know, makes you excited and makes you want to lay down some money.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Science Cafe Little Rock. I'm Dorothy Graves, and I'm talking with Marla Johnson, CEO of Aristotle. If you have a question for Marla, our number is 569-8494, area code 501-569-8494. Now, I know that Aristotle has a wide variety of clients. Do you tailor, how do you alter your creative approach for very different types of clients? Is there a difference in process, or is it just a matter of listening to the client and that's your base?
Well, we have a lot of ways that we listen. We do a lot of consulting and planning, and we focus mainly on goals. So we will absolutely focus primarily on what is it that you're hiring us to do? What is the best outcome that you want to see? And then we blend that with our knowledge of what's happening out there on the internet, you know, how people are feeling in terms, you know, maybe they're feeling overwhelmed, maybe they're in a hurry, maybe they're on their phone, maybe they're on a tablet. So we kind of take into account the actual experience of the user, we call it the user experience, and then we lay out a plan. We come up with some creative ideas. We run them by the client. Hopefully they like them. And then we'll roll. And if we can, we'll roll on more than one creative idea. And again, start collecting data. And I think that this is, you know, this is the future, and this is definitely the now, is like combining this creative idea with a bunch of data. So that's what we're doing. We're throwing a lot of different creative things out there, throwing spaghetti at the wall. We're a little bit more thoughtful than that, and then seeing what sticks and gathering data. And now you're really getting analytic in terms of the data. What does the data mean about your product, your service, and whether or not people are going to buy it? Or, you know, and if it's a nonprofit, you know, support you, donate, you know, if it's a...
What motivates you to action, whatever action
that is. If it's stamp out smoking, then it's, you know, get you to stop smoking, you know, whatever it is.
We have a caller on the line. Michael, can you hear me?
Absolutely. Good evening, ladies. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thanks for calling in. What's your question for Marla?
Well, it was more of just a phrasing of the creative idea. We just want your metadata. I love what Aristotle's doing. In 20 years, I imagine you've seen so much change. I would love to hear a little bit about what you guys have. You know, you're talking about VoIP today and maybe working with SAP and Hadoop and those big data clusters. But where did you come from before that? You sound pre-net at 20 years now. But also, if I could just throw a second one in there, you know, there's that great story where Target, you know, they do this same kind of analytics and creative ideas. And there's that huge, you know, story where a father, you know, finds out when Target starts sending out baby diaper advertisements, right? And all of a sudden the family finds out that their, you know, adolescent youth is actually, you know, pregnant, and they find out accidentally through Target. And this is something where the company owned up and said, you know, we were using specific purchasing and looking at your internet history, and oops, you know, and what's the creativity and where's the chaos, you know? Thank you so much.
Thank you, Michael. I think those are great issues, great questions you brought. Marla?
Yeah, so, yes, I am a pre-internet person. And, I have a giant encyclopedia. I have a giant dictionary on my desk. I used to work at the University of Memphis in the library system, and I was a librarian. And
so you love your books.
I love information and knowledge and how to categorize it and how to find it and how to share it. You know, there's a lot of themes that run through pre-internet world. I mean, and there's also skill sets. So I worked on video games before getting in the internet business. So, you know, our creative director and one of the founders, Christopher Stashek, you know, became, a star and was featured in books all over the country about compressing images and, you know, developing websites and how to do layout and all of that and these tools. So there's a lot of knowledge, you know, that you get from just the world of digital media, and then rolling that out into this amazing world of actually networked servers, you know, which has its own language and is definitely in the process of changing into a major different thing. It'll be a completely different thing in 10 years, and we're already seeing it. It's about data, and it's about feeds, and it's not about web pages. We learned from Google just, you know, in the past few years, I guess it was 10 years ago, that they kind of announced, Sub Rosa, that they really weren't about keywords and web pages anymore. They were about audiences and knowing about people, which gets me to your next topic, which is, yes, there's a tremendous amount of data out there, and we know a lot about people. The truth is, you have to aggregate the data. It's too much data. And the most amazing tools that are out there today, talk about creative, are ways to actually visualize that data, you know, through mapping and through different kinds of layering so that we can make sense of it and we can actually use it as a marketing tool. I mean, the good news is, Michael, that we're getting messages to you that are more interesting to you, and we are not putting messages in front of you that we don't think you will be interested in. And this is saving money for the advertiser, but it's also saving you from, you know, an even greater onslaught of advertising that you don't want to see. And it's in terms of knowing things about people. Wow. I mean, that one story was truly unfortunate, you know, because I would say that, you know, when they send out that Target thing for diapers, you know, that, you know, they don't intend, obviously, to disrupt the whole family unit, you know, with this news. The main thing is that all of that is done in a very aggregate way. I mean, there's not personal information that anybody
There's not personal identifiers or anything associated with that.
No. And, you know, more and more people put information out there about themselves. And also people are selling and making available information about you. I think that, you know, where that information is and how people can access it from those giant companies that house that data is a bigger issue than the way that we slice and dice it in order to deliver advertising to you.
Now, when you guys see it, is it de-identified by the time you guys start working with it?
Completely. Completely de-identified. Yeah.
Our number here in the studio, 569-8494. You're listening to Science Cafe, talking about art and science, specifically about the intersection of business and creativity, with Marla Johnson, CEO of Aristotle. So I want to switch our conversation a little bit and talk about how you nurture that creative environment within Aristotle, because you know, you're beyond being a teenager now. You're going to get old and boring and dull, and I mean,
oh, no, we're not.
You've already made that, you know, that that transition into the internet, you know, was you know, a very big change from where things were 20, 30 years ago. So how do you stay ahead of the curve? How do you have your employees stay ahead of that curve and have, you know, those seeds of those fires of creativity always at play?
Right. Well, we hire people from many different backgrounds and many different age groups. There are a lot of very young people who work at Aristotle. We have expertise, and we expect them to develop expertise. And part of that is Googling a lot, or, you know, asking questions a lot, or reading a lot, you know, being out on the internet, looking at it. You know, and so we have someone who is committed, you know, to social media marketing as an area of expertise. She already has great expertise, but she continues building that. Someone else, search engine marketing, you know, someone else writing for the web, somebody else, you know, online media management. So software, data, you know, all analytics, you know, so people commit to owning that level, the deep knowledge and expertise. And then it's about making sure that all those people get mixed up a lot. You know, that they actually, you know, they're in a creative environment. They're in a place that's fun to be in. It's a really cool place to work. We've done a lot of great work. You know, we have great clients. And then really, honestly, it's about the clients. We engage constantly. They're our secret weapon. Our clients. So we're always out there looking at what people on the internet are doing. And then our clients are coming to us with their specific problems. So our clients will come and say, wow, you know, hey, can you do this? Can you pull this off? You know, what about this? Or, hey, we have a problem. Do you think that you have any ideas or solutions for that? So engaging in that from all of these different areas of expertise, all those people getting around the table and batting around possibilities for how to solve that problem is really how we do it.
569-8494. If you have a question for Marla Johnson, she is CEO of Aristotle. What does creativity look like for someone in marketing versus IT or an interactive where you are? I mean, what does that look like in the different aspects of, because I know Aristotle has fingers in lots of different places, different aspects of this business.
So I was thinking earlier, you know, that it's a creative business. Like, that's not creative accounting. Yeah, that's creative business development. And it's really important that you have people who aren't really necessarily creative sometimes, you know, in places like, you know,
yeah,
your CPA.
You want your bookkeeper, you want them to be pretty linear, pretty structured in their decision making.
You don't want them to be creative in how they report the numbers.
Right.
So, similarly with IT versus a marketing person. I mean, we deal a lot with a lot of marketing people, and the creativity in that area tends to be kind of what we classically think of as creative. You know, I like the way this sounds. I like the way this video moves. You know, I like the look and feel of this. I like the creativity, the humor in that campaign. And then on the IT front, you know, it's really about a creative solution. It's a lot more about hacking. So, you know, that's the word we use, really, which is shortcuts and how to build on somebody else's something. You know, because what we're dealing with right now in the world of software development and application development on the web is that we have way too many lines of code. We have lots of old code out there. We got a lot of code we got to fix. You know, so a lot of people in IT are constantly having to fix things, spend their time fixing things instead of building things. So when you're talking to IT people, you either want to find some fast, good ways to fix things and get more into the building of things.
So how do you go about achieving agreement between your client and your team there? I mean, I'm sure that's probably a global question, but, you know, if you... You know, say you've got a client coming through who's, you know, extremely creative, but does not understand some of the practical issues around what they want to accomplish. Or on the flip side of it, they're thinking about doing one step and you guys can easily visualize 10, 20 steps ahead for them. Mm-hmm. You know, how do you work that relationship and how do you make that happen for them?
Right. So I had the honor of working with Ziggy Marley on the Bob Marley website. And we were in a meeting, and I wish I could do a Jamaican accent, but I'm not very good at it. But anyway, occasionally he would say things, and one time he was saying something, and really there were about 15 of us in the room. We just could not understand what he was saying. And what he was saying, what the 3D, and what is he saying? Finally, James said, are you asking about when the internet's going to be 3D? Yes. He was asking about, can we do all of this in 3D? And if not, when is that going to happen? And when can, you know, this whole experience, he just wants this immersive 3D experience of the Bob Marley website.
Wow.
So, yeah, we had to explain the limitations. And limitations, you know, are budget, time, you know. I mean, and so we can get really creative and do a whole lot of things, you know, without those two limits. But we usually have those two limits. And then there are a lot of technological challenges. Right now, the biggest technological challenge that we have is that more than 55% of your time looking at web pages now is done on a phone or a tablet. So what that means is that it's got to be very fast to load. You might have a data plan or whatever. You're in a hurry, and you don't really want these giant, gorgeous, immersive experiences. You need to get information, what you're looking for, which is why the internet is moving more and more towards kind of a data feed model and less of this pretty picture model.
Right.
But anyway, so the way we do it is we just have those conversations, and we do a lot of education. We do.
So we just have a couple of minutes remaining. You mentioned a partnership with Google. Can you talk to us a little bit about that and maybe how that came about and how that is value added for you and Google?
Yeah. So Google has a really great way that they get employees for coding. Specifically, what they do is they've put puzzles out there on the internet. And then if you are a really brilliant coder, you can find it, decipher it, and then and only then may they invite you to come in for an interview. So similarly, they have some awards that they give to agencies like ours for doing really, really great campaign work. And so if we can submit campaign work we've done, and we did that and we kept winning awards and they kept sending us more cool Google swag. And so then finally they invited us to be their partner. And the contest was the creative way that they came up with identifying companies that would be good partners for them. People who really got, you know, search engine marketing and online media marketing and who were creating great results. And so they could support them, you know, and know that they were supporting a good thing. And people had done it a certain length of time as well. So, you know, I love that creative approach to identifying partners. I mean, I think that it could be used for identifying great clients and, you know, and also, you know, everybody has an ideal customer too. So, you know, creative ways to, because, again, it's this global world we're in. I mean, it's just so big. There are just so many people. I mean, it's been really great to see how creative people kind of work, and what that's meant for us is that they have a team for us, and we can ask them questions, and they can help us do even better, and then also they can, you know, help us grow our business, which is obviously good for Google.
Well, and I would guess there's tremendous value in really finding that right fit, you know, obviously for Google and for you guys.
Yep, it's fun.
Well, thank you, Marla, so much for being here. I enjoyed our conversation.
That was fun.
And if you want to hear more from Marla, we are headed up to the Afterthought in the Hillcrest area of Little Rock. We are going to broaden our discussion on art and science. Marla will be joined by Joseph Bocage-Pew. She is an independent licensed dance therapist, so taking another direction. And then Robert Bean is a drawing instructor at the Arkansas Arts Center Museum School. So come on up and join us from 7 to 9 o'clock at the Afterthought in Hillcrest. Thank you for being here again, Marla. And for 89.1 KUAR and Science Cafe, I'm Dorothy Graves.